would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello, this is St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. I was thinking lately, I'm just going to tell the story. About 20 years ago when I was in university, some friends of mine and I, we were heading out to Rosse, New Brunswick, outside of St. John to smoke some weed and do some cosmic blacklight bowling. And we stopped by our friend's place to pick up some pot and headed out. We went out to the highway and pulled into the baseball field that's on the way there, right off the highway. And we're just gonna divide up our stuff. We ground it all up and we were gonna split it up amongst ourselves and roll some joints before we went bowling. And so while we're sitting in this empty parking lot at night, car pulls up like right behind us and is shining like their high beams into the back of our car. I look in the mirror, I can't tell who it is, I have no idea. So I kind of open the door, I'm turning around, and like I put one step out on the ground to see who it is. By then, the police officer is walking up alongside the car, so I'm just standing there, like, holding on to the open car door and realize that there's a cop standing in front of me, and I just freeze. I'm in a bit of terror, and he asks me, like, oh, what are you boys doing out here? And I just, in the panic of the moment, the best excuse I could come up with was, I was just changing the CDs in my CD changer in the car. I didn't want to do it while I was driving, because that wouldn't be safe. And then the police officer shines his flashlight into the back seat, and my friend is sitting there with a CD case in his lap, with a pile, like, this big and this tall of ground up weed. So he's just like, and the cop's like, so what's that? And I was like, and like instantly I am ready to submit to the authority. I'm immediately like, I reach down underneath my driver's seat where I've got my kit that has like my pipe and like papers and grinder and rolling papers and all that stuff. I'm reaching down. I'm about to just, here you go, sir. I'm sorry, we've broken the law. And he just tells me, like, sit down. Like, he, I don't know if he knew what I was doing, but regardless, he stopped me. And so he starts talking to us and asks us for some information. He's like, so how much did you pay for that? And I said, well, we, $20 each, so $60. And again, it's a pretty good pile. It's about this big around on a CD case and about this tall, a nice little mountain of weed. And the police officer is like, $60? You boys sure got ripped off. You barely get one joint out of that pile. And like, it was a pretty significant pile. To this day, I'm not sure if he was just dumb or was just kind of justifying that it wasn't that much. And you know, he told us, you know what, boys, that piddly amount of weed that you got is gonna cause me a whole mess of paperwork that I'd rather not have to deal with. So why don't you just tell me where you bought it from, and I will I'll reach out to my buddy on the St. John police force and give him a heads up, and then we can call this a night. And I asked the cop, can we have a minute to talk about this? And he's like, yep. And so I roll up the window and I turn around to talk to my friends, and I am immediately ready, like, hey, so we're gonna rat out our friend and potentially get him sent to jail, right? Like, that's my first instinct. I am ready to be, I'm ready to Tekashi 6ix9ine this thing. And it didn't even occur to me that there was any other option. I saw it as either our friend goes to jail or all three of us, and, you know, one person's better than three. And, like, our friend that we got it from wasn't even a drug dealer. He was just our friend who used to buy ounces, so he'd have a lot, and he owned a digital scale. So usually, if we were looking for it, we would just go to him, and he would weigh it out, and we'd pay him and either hang out there or just be on our way. Not somebody that the police have any reason to be interested in. So I'm glad I didn't just blurt out, like, so we're gonna rat out this guy, right? So I just said, like, hey, what are we gonna do, guys? And we decided to lie to the police, which it didn't even occur to me that that was an option. So I was the designated liar. We came up with our little story. I got out of the car, I went and sat in the passenger seat of the police car and was like, all right, officer, we're ready to come clean. So what happened was last weekend we were at a party, and this guy, I'm not going to say his name on here for my own safety, but there was a pretty well-known drug dealer in St. John. It's not who we got it from, but it's somebody that the police are probably already aware of. We'll just call him Donnie Dope Man for the sake of this. So, officer, we were at a party last weekend, and this guy Donnie Dope Man was there, and he had some weed for sale, and you know, we just wanted to impress these girls, so we bought some. And you know, that was the first time that I had done it, and you know, I didn't like it. It just made me feel dumb. But you know, it was the cool thing to do. It was peer pressure. And that, you know, we had a good enough time at the party last weekend. So tonight we were looking for some good wholesome fun. We were gonna go cosmic bowling at the riverboat, and lo and behold, we're driving down the street in the north end of St. John, and Donnie Dope Man is walking down the street. And, you know, I'm indifferent to the whole thing, but my friends were like, hey, there's Donnie. If we're going to go cosmic bowling, let's get some marijuana to make that better. And so, you know, we pulled over, and he hopped in the car, and he happened to have some, so we did our transaction. We got our $60 piddly amount of less than one joint weed, and we drove out here, and that's where we are. And the cop bought the story. He took our weed, he dumped the CD case on the ground and, like, rubbed it into the gravel with his foot, and he took our glass pipe that we had, that we'd borrowed from our friend that we had bought the rest of the stuff from. So the cop threw out our weed, stole our pipe, and he left. We didn't go to jail. He didn't murder us. And most people would be in that situation and think, oh, there, you know, there's a good one. Not all cops are bad. You guys got off. Your lives didn't get ruined. But I don't want this story to, this is just an anecdote, and I don't think it reflects the police as a whole. Like, I think this story just illustrates that the police, they've got a few good apples, but that's not necessarily a reflection of them as a whole. But you know, what I was thinking about was, you know, some people have these stories of not as bad as it could be interaction with the police, and like, that guy was a good person. He didn't bust you guys, he didn't throw you in jail, you don't have a criminal record now because that was a good dude. But why is all of the examples of cops being the good guys also examples of them being not great cops? Like, technically, the example that I'm giving of a good police experience is one where the police didn't actually do his job. It was an illegal substance and he caught us with it in the car. We were probably going to smoke and drive the rest of the way. And that's the best example we've got of police when they're actively not doing their job. And, you know, maybe the situation would have been different if it was not for the color of my skin. And a lot of people would call that whole situation an example of my white privilege. But is it really a privilege that I didn't go to jail for a victimless crime that even then, 20 years ago, the general consensus was, like, nobody thought that pot should be illegal. This was, like, the early days of, I think, Jean Chrétien, our prime minister, was talking about decriminalizing weed. So, even 20 years ago, nobody gave a shit about pot laws. But, so I shouldn't have been arrested. And I'm not gonna feel guilty for that. Like, white privilege is one thing, but it's... That should just be the default. How I was treated in that situation, if you're going to have to deal with the cops as all, it was not a privilege. Some guy rolled up and intimidated a bunch of kids and stole their pipe and ruined $60 of their weed. We didn't have a lot of money. That situation shouldn't have happened at all, so I'm not going to be thankful that I wasn't thrown in a cage for it, but I do acknowledge that that situation might have been different for a black person or an indigenous person or somebody else, but me feeling guilty about my white privilege doesn't help that situation. The problem is black disadvantage, not white privilege. So I'm not going to feel guilty that I didn't get my skull busted in, because I shouldn't have anyway, and nobody else should either. And, you know, people have been talking about what to do. Well, everybody except for the Black Lives Matter rally. They don't talk about what to do about the police in St. John anyway. But, I think, like, in my perfect future utopian world, that there's no traditional police department in the sense that we understand it now. As much as is possible, can be handled by the community, and whatever the community can't handle themselves, then you can just hire somebody. And if you hire somebody and they end up doing a bad job, then you can fire them, like, the next day. That's like my best case scenario, but that's not going to happen overnight. There's lots of steps that need to happen, and I don't think if we flip the switch and just completely abolish the police force today, that's probably not going to go well. We probably would end up with something worse, because people don't have the right mindset to, you know, cooperate with each other and let this happen. So that's... I was a little bit excited with the defund the police thing, but that... there's a lot of things that need to happen on the way there. Some people are saying good things. There's lots of ways that you can cut down on the violence that's happening. That eight can't wait thing that's been going around, I think those are all good ideas. We just need, if there's anything that we can do as a step towards my best case scenario of no police, if there's anything that we can do to have less contact with the police, then less people are going to get hurt. Less people of all races, and that benefits everybody, and it might even benefit minorities even more. But there's concrete things that we can do to make less people get hurt, and less people getting into any kind of a situation with a cop is one step along the way. And I'm really disappointed that I don't think people are talking enough about concrete, actual things that we can do. We're at a moment in history where saying that a person or an organization is racist is the same as solving racism. And calling somebody a racist is probably the least brave thing that anybody can do in June 2020. Nobody's going to push back on that. That's not And it's not going to accomplish anything. And again, I'm still butthurt about the BLM rally here in St. John. Like, unconscious bias, I'm not saying it's not a problem, but on the list of priorities, it's like way, way, way down. And just saying it out loud, just, you can't just say its name three times and think that it will disappear. Unconscious bias isn't playing by Beetlejuice rules. And again, it's not that there's no problem there, but instead of like unconscious bias being like our number one issue, can we maybe talk about conscious violence? That's an actual thing that you can see with your eyes and can be measured and, you know, can be dealt with in a court of law. Like, I'm so disappointed. We just came off of a moment where everybody in the world saw George Floyd get killed, and everybody except for the most extreme hardcore racist was probably horrified with that. That's the rare case where there is consensus on a social issue. That is a bad thing. Even a mild racist who doesn't want to hang around with black people, or who thinks that black people have a lower IQ or whatever, even those people would see a human being killing another human being who's in handcuffs on the street as a problem. And I think we've squandered the moment. I hope I'm wrong. I hope all of this actually does pan out and solve a problem, but my hopes aren't high. But, you know, instead of just fighting amongst ourselves about who's racist and who's not, if there's anything at all we can do to just put fewer people in contact with the police / potential murderers, Let's do that, please. Can we put white privilege on hold for just a minute and focus on cop privilege, which is an actual thing that leads to people dying? But anyway, that's all the politics for this episode. Coming up next, I talked to my friend Scott Belford. Touring Canadian comedian, one of my favorite guys in the country. I've worked with him a bunch of times. He was in Toronto and was in Halifax for a bit, and now he's in Calgary, Alberta. So we talked over Zoom the other day, and you're gonna hear that right now. Enjoy.
Drop this. Drop this.
Black man!
Don't be scared now. Better get prepared now. Hands up in the air now. Just watch as I drop this kid. Don't be scared now. Better get prepared now. Hands up in the air now. Just watch as I drop this time. Just watch as I drop this. Just watch as I drop this. Take this to the head, no regrets. I can see your mind spinning around like a set. Better get, crack your plastic, hop on a fast kick. Don't got a break point, already past it. I never slow down for a sign. I just get mine and toast to the times. Cause the bubbles they pop, reality stops. Shit gets freaky and the freak get lost. And the rest get no rest, they just but blessed. And I got it on block like checkmate chess. I'm best in the bracket, don't test. I'll take you to Budapest, pip out a hat trick. Tic tac blasted like Shabazz. I got power like a mystic, Shahrazad of the rapture. You feeling for a genie, got one wish left. Better get it, I
forget it. Ball of confusion, avalanche of illusion. Shooting everything in my sight, I'm not losing. I drafted, designed, I built different felt tips. Wire it into any day. It's all the same shit, never gonna let trick slide. It's electric, javelin, lightning, hammer of the Vikings. Moon cheese, I'm bugging out, gotta do the right thing. She's got a habit and my habit is I'm hiring. Always with timing, watch me, I'm whining. Chair is a throne with a handle for reclining. Queen on aluminum siding, I'm sliding. Hiding on clean sides, why I'm not hiding. It made me a boss, right, that's why I'm firing. Rooting for the champion, put him in my coffin. Many, many words, but I don't use them often. Keep my mouth quiet and my eyes full of talking. Still put up tags, I can't keep barking. I'm parked in the front, no front in the barking. Who somebody would've said, look what you're starting.
Thank you.
apocalypse treated you?
Not bad. I've been laid off for 3 months, but still getting money though. So
yeah,
I'm not making as much, but I don't have anything to spend it on. So I'm still, I've got lots.
Yeah, I'm actually doing better than I was expecting financially. I did not expect for the government to look after self-employed people, but there we go.
Yes. Yeah, so what was the or hang on a sec. What was the process for doing that? Like, I had to submit, like, I got piece of paper that said I was laid off, but
yeah, CERB was easy, man. It was clicking two or three boxes, pretty much, just being like, I'm not lying, I was laid off, or my job was affected because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of warnings being like, if you are lying, we will come get you. So I don't know. It was good.
Yeah.
Two days after submitting, the money came in. So hell yeah.
Yeah. Mine wasn't that quick. I applied for EI because it was before the other thing, and then it just switched into CERB. But then my work applied for the 75% subsidy thing and put me back on payroll. So I've been getting both. I'm going to have to pay back the CERB. But fingers crossed that somebody makes a big stink about all these poor people that get hit with a big bill at tax time and they just let it all slide. I haven't defrauded anybody. I'm continuing to fill out my reports, and I put in what my income was for the 2 weeks, and they just keep sending the money anyway. So that's on them.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to not spend it so that I can pay it back though, if they have to, but I'm still hoping that they just decide to not bother. That's not likely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully some bleeding hearts will make a bad decision in my benefit.
Oh, fingers crossed, eh? Thank God for those bleeding hearts.
Because I imagine there will be some people that are in a similar situation that just didn't save it. And if they have to pay back thousands of dollars come tax time, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared for either way. I'm hoping for free money, though.
Yeah. You're prepared to pay it back. You're also prepared to spend it. That's good. That's big of you, man. Yeah.
I just got the roof replaced on my house.
So. Look at you.
Yeah. So I can use some of the surplus there. It's cheaper than putting it on the credit card.
Right.
Okay. And
So
were you, were you like full time? Was your full income coming from stand up?
Yeah. In fact, it'll be 3 years, September 1st, that I've only been doing comedy. So I was on tour in the middle of Manitoba when this whole thing kind of came to a screeching halt. We were in Regina when the NBA canceled. Mm. And as soon as sports canceled, that's when everyone was like, holy shit, this is real, right? Like, when in your life have you ever watched a $1 billion industry just be like, you know what, maybe we'll stop? Like, so within about 3 days from there, every show I had until, like, I had stuff canceling for July, you know? Like, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm scared.
I was not anticipating as severe as the lockdown was going to be. Like, I remember, like, early March, I remember they were talking about, we're recording, by the way. They were talking about, like, not the Bond movie not coming out. And I'm like, what does a movie coming out have to do with a virus? Like, I just could, like, are they worried that they're not going to be able to have their red carpet party or something?
And then everything shuts down and you're like,
didn't anticipate that every movie theater would be closed.
Yeah, that's right, man. It was pretty wild. It happened so fast too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I was supposed to, I had a No Jokes Bard show that I was supposed to do on whatever the third Saturday in March was.
Yeah.
And right that week, I was still expecting it to happen.
Go.
Like I'd called the bar owner the week before and said, like, are we still good to go? And he's like, are you still good to go? I'm like, yeah, if I'm allowed to.
Yeah.
And we're all on board. I asked his permission before starting to make posters, like with biohazard symbols on it, just
right. Yeah.
Being a jerk. I think it's funny, but I would I understand that he doesn't want his business name on that. So for the most part, I'm not big on people telling me what to do and how, but in that case, it was a sensitive time. But then the show ended up being canceled, so it never happened anyway.
So are things in full swing again in St. John, or?
Not really. Stuff's reopening. The bars are open. The tables are limited. I think they probably have limited capacity. For a while, I don't know if you've been following me. New Brunswick was doing like
great,
the best for a long time. They just locked it down and wouldn't let anybody in and out for a long time. And we didn't have any
talk
cases.
About a first day. Eh? Yeah. I've never heard New Brunswickers louder too. Just celebrating that number one spot.
Yeah, we're very proud the one time that we don't, we aren't an abject failure.
Yeah.
But yeah, until there was a thing up in Campbellton up north, there, at first they thought it was some doctor that decided to skip across to Quebec and come back and not tell anybody. They're saying right. No, like one of his patients probably spread it around. But I think everybody who has it right now is up there, and it has something to do with that.
Right.
For a while, it was mostly 100% travel related stuff.
Right.
So like somebody, they don't really give details, but it's generally somebody come back from vacation and
some jerk from Nova Scotia is out for,
But where are you at? Calgary?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's,
back out west now.
What's going on out there? I see you've got a show booked next week. Will that be your first time back on a real stage?
Well, on a real stage. So in Edmonton, the comic strip in the West Edmonton Mall opened up for a weekend. And this was about mid-May. And I did the Tuesday show. And then the next day, they got canceled. So I had 1 5-minute set in there.
Did a bunch of people get sick? Or what, they block it out?
No, it was just the Alberta health minister was talking about how if you're laughing, more spit's going to come out or something like that. I don't know. It was, I know. All arbitrary stuff. But they're opened up again now, and I'm there at the end of the week. So
is it to a certain number or like a certain percentage of capacity?
Yeah, so I think they're operating at 35% capacity. And it's a big room, so that's still about 100 people. And then what they're doing is like your bubble, you know, the group of people you decide to spend time with. Mm-hmm. So they'll sit bubbles at every table, and then a table will be two meters apart. And the comics are going up, and they're using the Lysol wipes to do the mic stand and the mic. And the front row has been pushed back, so there's no accidental, you know, hazardous spittle coming your way. So.
Yeah.
But this will be the first time doing any serious time on an actual stage in about 3 months. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, like Shane Ogden was talking about, they were hoping, like they can't really go back to normal even at limited capacity because nobody can enter the province without having a comic.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to come here and want to just hang out for 2 weeks before you can see anybody.
Yeah.
He was hoping that they would have like limited capacity and just do a show with locals or something and maybe stream it online on top of that. But they told him they could only have 10 people, which is ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I don't understand how that works. Bars. I was at a bar last week that had more than 10 people in it.
Well, I mean, the rule is 50, right? Isn't it? Or I guess it's province by province. I know in Alberta, it's 50 inside.
Well, I think, Shane was, at least according to his Facebook post, for all I know, this was just, we were going to do a show with locals.
Right.
But I think when he thought that it was 50, they were going to do a local show, and then somebody said it was 10, which doesn't even make any sense. So I'm not sure what the story is. I went and I talked to the owner of McGill's, which is where I'm doing the No Jokes Bard show now. It's a different spot than when than the time that you did it.
Than the R Bar, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't say that. We don't say that name anymore. Sorry.
I'm over it. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
No need for a trigger warning.
Right.
I talked to him, but when I talked to him, it was, they'd only been open for like 2 days and he was just kind of feeling it out, and he was still fighting with figuring out what to do with the city. The the fire department was down there swinging their dicks around because of they had the big fire truck down there just to, because I think they wanted to put like temporary seating a little bit further out, and it's down on the boardwalk in St. John. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the area, but
I know the boardwalk.
They've got a patio that goes out so far, and then there's like another 15-20 feet of just walking space that they were hoping to put like temporary seating out, and they wanted to make sure that the fire truck could get in there and the ladder could still reach the top of the roof. And there was some sort of city council meeting happening the next day, so he had to get all permission and whatever, and was going to get back to me, and I haven't heard from him yet. I see that he's had the requisite guy with a guitar playing in there. That's okay, apparently, but comedy. Maybe it's because of the spittle, maybe.
All right.
You're listening to St. John Ford Radio, 107.3 FM. Come and get it, because it's hot.
It is hot. This would be this month would be the 6-year anniversary of No Jokes Barred, so I wanted to get something, and I'm kind of getting tired of waiting. I posted today on Facebook. I'm thinking maybe of doing
Back to the Alley.
Yeah, doing an outside one. When we first got kicked out of the R Bar, I did one in the parking lot out there. I might do the same thing again next week.
Go to a park. Just don't even ask permission. Just go do it.
Yeah, no. I always find that weird. I don't know what it's like anywhere else, but whenever anybody does anything in St. John, they're always such wieners about it. Like, they go and get permission. Like, I remember when zombie walks first started happening, and just that was just a cool idea that just a bunch of zombies would descend on the city without warning. Yeah. And then they just started asking permission, and they're like, okay, well, you can do your little parade on this street at this time on this day, and that would be okay.
Yeah.
And even we had a BLM rally last weekend, which they went and got permission from the police and made a point of they weren't going to say anything bad about the police at this thing.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole thing of the movement. We're not going to mention it.
they did not mention police one time. And the guy that they had taking the official photos is like the biggest fan of the police that I've ever met in my life. And he made sure that, like, in the photo set on Facebook, the first three pictures that he put in the photo set were like a friendly cop talking to like a little black child and being like a nice guy. Just so that's what you see if you're just scrolling through your feed. St. John's got no balls.
That's all right. Yeah. Frick, the rallies out here were, Calgary and Edmonton were 10,000 plus.
Yeah.
A lot of people showed up. Yeah.
Was there any trouble?
No, peaceful.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you go?
No, I was camping, but,
fair enough. Yeah. I went cause I wanted to hear them out. I'm like, I don't want people getting murdered by anybody, but mostly I was kind of bummed out that it was kind of watered down. And like I said, did not mention the police at all. And but anyway, hopefully something comes of it.
Yeah.
I saw you also, you were soliciting people to book you for like barbecues and backyards and stuff. Has that happened yet?
I've done a couple of them. They've been interesting. Totally a different vibe than regular comedy, obviously, right? Because everyone kind of knows each other. So I found a little more crowd work works a lot better than just doing your jokes, obviously, right? Like it's 10 to 15 people in their own backyard who all know each other. So you kind of got to do a little bit more ribbon type of thing. I don't know.
Is it kind of like doing a corporate? Oh, it's not as stuffy,
but I like, I have been still because, you know, people worry about what their neighbors were think, right? You know, even if they enjoy dirty comedy and the neighbors are like, oh my God, like, right. And they got to live with that. So I don't know. Keep it pretty clean, I guess.
Yeah, I would like to do that. When we did it in the parking lot last time, it was not clean. I wanted to, the show's called No Jokes Barred, so I kind of don't want to do it at all in this. And yeah, it was at night. It was in a fairly public parking lot. Part of me kind of hoped that it got shut down by the police for the story's sake.
But yeah,
nobody cared. but yeah. it was mostly just other comics there and maybe like five other non-comedians that were there to watch it, but that was in like November though, so it was freezing cold. I'm hoping for a better turnout in June.
It was
a funny situation. I'm kind of like, we were wrapping up and I closed it out with like, I've got one bit that is just, it's one for me. It's needlessly gross and offensive. And I just like, that's a good way to close this out. And like right in the middle of it, the Imperial Theater started letting out and there was a bunch of people there to see like, what was it? I think it was the Grinch or something. So it was a bunch of families and there was a bunch of children coming out into the parking lot that we were in while I was screaming about my dick. But so that was fun. But I'm not sure if there's going to be more of a crackdown because of the virus thing now, if that's more likely.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting a huge mass of people. Maybe if we have some No Jokes Barred protest signs, it would be okay.
You've been seeing what's going on in Florida the last week?
No.
Like, their virus cases have gone... It's increased 5 times in 6 days. So like it's 5 times higher than it was 6 days ago. Yesterday they set a record and was at 2,940 cases in yesterday. Yesterday. Like it is just exploding there. The NBA is losing their mind because they're trying to get their season back and going with Disney there.
Yeah.
But if the virus is just running rampant, you can't just bring a bunch of more people into it. I don't know. Pretty crazy. Makes me glad they kind of looked after it the way they did here, even though I hated it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm torn. The libertarian in me is upset at the government overreach and what gives you the right.
Yeah.
But also, if they didn't, then probably a bunch of extra people would be dead, though. So
I know, right? It's like, and you don't want to be one of those people that are like, well, it's only old people. It's like, well, guess what? You're going to be fucking 55 sometime too, buddy. Like, it's not that crazy. Like,
yeah, there's probably some in between. Like, if we just lock up the old people, maybe. And, like, we had a big spike, a lot of people, just because the government, like, or no, I don't know if that was here or if it was in the States, but there was a big problem where they wouldn't let nursing homes turn away new people just because they had coronavirus and like, oh, they're all dead now. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
But yeah, it's weird because like, I know it is bad and like anybody can get it. It's not as bad as they said it was going to be. And it's kind of a thing. Like they said, what's going to happen is if this works, then everybody's going to be like, oh, we did this all for nothing.
Yeah.
And we don't really know the difference between we did it all for nothing or it just actually worked right.
And I don't know. I mean, I feel like Florida and Arizona are kind of proving that right now. Like, man, that's a lot of cases. If you look at Ontario, their population's like in the realm of Florida, right? So it's a somewhat accurate comparison. And yesterday, Ontario had 190 cases. Yeah. So, and Ontario locked down and Florida didn't really give two craps about what was going on. So, I don't know.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more spikes after all the protests and stuff, but that might still come. But
yeah, it might still come.
All over the place. So.
It is. And I was impressed with how all the protesters were pretty safe about it. The amount of masks and stuff you saw, like almost everyone was wearing them. Here anyways, in Calgary, everyone was like, I don't know.
Yeah, there was. I haven't been wearing my mask. I usually have one with me. If I go into a place that insists on it, I'm okay with that. Like I went to get my hair cut and I put one on because they wanted me to. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. If I don't want to, I just don't go in there. So that's fine. But yeah, it's annoying. My mask
protocol's about the same.
Yeah. I wore one the first time that I went to get groceries, but then everybody, like nobody else was wearing one. So I just felt like an idiot. So
yeah,
this is for everyone else's sake. Yeah, so, exactly.
That's right. It's like, I'm doing this for you guys and you're not going to reciprocate. Then off comes the mask.
Yeah. Do you guys, it hasn't been an issue lately, but I've noticed like whenever I did go to the grocery store, do you guys have like one way aisles now in the grocery stores? We've got arrows. Yeah.
People hate it.
Lots of
people ignore it. Yeah.
It's mostly just old men, and I'm not sure if they're just dumb or stubborn, or it's 100% of the time it's some old guy coming at me.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. People aren't like militant about it. If somebody's going really slow in front of me, I'm not just going to stand there. I'll go around and say, excuse me, but is still coming within 6 feet, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, if St. John's wasn't hit that hard too, it's not that big of a deal then, right?
And it could be that everybody who has it is up in Campbellton 7 hours away, but
So
what have you been doing with yourself this whole time?
Oh, buddy, it's been retired life. Like, not a heck of a lot. I don't know, man. I've been working out. I'm probably in the best shape I've been in since my 20s, but besides that, nothing really overly productive. I tried to write a bunch, but honestly, I'm one of those guys that like, I need to, when I write something, I need to try it in a day or two or I lose all confidence in it. It's not like I can just stockpile a bunch of material and then go back and try it. I need to be in the mindset that I thought it was funny to kind of get it out. Because the amount of times I'll look at premises and stuff from a month later and be like, well, this is nothing. This isn't funny. Like, I don't know. So I haven't been writing much either, but
I haven't been doing as much. It's not because of that though. In New Brunswick, I don't really have the option of writing something and then trying it out within a couple of days anyway.
So. Right.
I usually like,
I'm spoiled. I get it.
That's fine. I'm not good at just sitting down and like, I'm going to write now. Like I need to think of something and like jot it down and then like refine it later. I'll just kind of barf it out. And I kind of prefer to have that space. I'd rather just write out a big chunk of stuff and then look at it again in a month and fix it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then try it on stage and then fix it some more. But I've had a hard time kind of, I've written a few sets, I think that I'll try it when I get a chance. It's hard to generate material when you're just sitting around the house and not really living much of a life.
I've got a bunch of stuff too, obviously. I mean, I did write ideas down on my phone, but actually developing them, I don't know. That's not really how I do it. But
I normally I'll be just out and about doing something and I'll think of something and I'll put it in like, I've got a separate file in my phone for just like a sentence or two of an idea for something. Then I'll flesh it out, but hasn't been coming to me lately. But yeah, I've been trying to exercise too, but I think unfortunately the amount of exercise I'm doing is just enough to cancel out the sedentary fatness. Like I'm not seeing any results at all, but I feel like if I didn't do it, I'd probably just have gotten continually fatter. So
I don't know what my problem is, man. Since I've started working out, my diet has gone to shit. Like now I'm like, oh yeah, well I can eat terribly. I worked out today. It's fine. Yeah. You know, an extra beer. Sure. I won't stop at 2. I'll have 3, maybe more, you know?
The first 2 weeks, I think, I've got an exercise bike in my basement here that I've been using, but yeah, like you, I justified and like, I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream every night.
You're like, how am I working out and gaining weight?
I let the beard grow out a bit more and then I trimmed it down and I was expecting to just unveil my new thin face and only one chin, but didn't happen.
I did the opposite. I was a little too stoned to be doing this, but was trimming up my beard and I overwent on the one side and took off a chunk, like, and then I'm trying to like level it out for the, from the other side. And you know, you're eating away at both sides. And then pretty soon I was just like, well, I guess I'm just shaving my beard off now. So I was beardless for the first time in years.
I shaved it off back in November and I didn't start growing it back until the quarantine. I had this idea in my head that I'm going to stop shaving until I go back to work. But after like a month, it just got itchy. So I trimmed it way down for now. Nice. But when I go back out in the real world, I'll probably lose it. I don't know. I kind of liked having a smooth face for a while.
Yeah. Well, the mustache is serving you well. I like that.
Yeah.
It's distinguishing.
Well, there's a beard. It's just harder to, it's harder to use the clippers on the mustache part. So that's a bit longer.
Yeah, the upper lip is thicker and everything's coming in else. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
That kind of needs to be an all or nothing kind of thing. Yeah. It's hard to trim a mustache down to like a number two.
Nice.
Yeah. So, are you excited to be back on stage? Are you missing it or?
I actually am. I didn't know what to expect. I know I've heard a lot of comics who are like, actually, I'm not missing it at all. And that worries me a little. But so I guess I'm one of the lucky ones that I do like comedy. You know, I did miss it. The first few weeks was nice, you know, where it's like, I don't have to worry about booking. I don't have to email people all the time. I don't have to write. I don't have to do anything. It was just like, okay, like, everything's on pause. And what was weird too is that that last 2 weeks of March, like my stuff was just falling out like a day before. You know, after March 15th, everything kind of fell out, but it was just a little at a time. So I didn't really until almost April kind of figure out, oh yeah, I'm going to be out of work for a while. Like,
Yeah, no, I've been trying to keep busy. I've been doing more reading and I've been doing like a video version of the podcast and getting better at video editing. But
nice.
That's kind of a trap to fall into. Like I did a podcast for a long time and it got really elaborate and I almost did like kind of radio drama type stuff with like sound effects and music backgrounds and stuff. And I got I got tired of doing it because I would just spend way too much time like nitpicking on it. And so when I started doing the radio show, that was, I just needed to show up for an hour and talk into a microphone and then like very minimal editing and put it out on the internet. So I've gotten back, but it's pretty demoralizing to spend like an entire Sunday editing together my video podcast and like 20 views.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's disavowed me of the illusion that like, you know what, if I wasn't saddled with this day job, I could probably find ways to like get this comedy career going, like, and focus more on the podcast and put more content out. And now I'm finding out like, even when people are at home with nothing to do, they're still not interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm more successful on stage than on the internet. So I'm hoping to get back to it.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, I kind of, having that next show coming up for me was the pressure that I needed to actually get some work done and write something. But now it's not for anything. So it's that much harder to be motivated to put any effort into it.
Man, my brain works like that too. And I don't know what the psychology is behind it of why I think like this. If it was school and just that I needed a deadline then, and that's what I got used to. But man, do I need a deadline. Like, I need a show to write and I need like the crunch of like, oh, if I don't book some shows right away, I'm not going to make rent. You know, like without that, buddy, I'm great at being lazy and doing nothing. Like it doesn't even bother me that much, you know?
Yeah. And I love not working, but without having stand up to do more of, like like a few years ago, like I went out on stress leave for a few weeks and like didn't have to go to the awful day job, but could still go out and do shows. But now it's just, I got nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been talking to a few other comics like Arif Hussein and Brian Godso. We've been doing podcasts usually like once a week, if not more than that over the last little bit. But
well, you got the time, right?
Yeah. But I also felt like weird about like part of me wanted to like call and check in with my non-comedy acquaintances, but like I never did that before, so I just felt weird about doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the last couple of weeks as things have been opening up, I've gone out and like hung out and had some drinks with friends and stuff, and it is kind of nice. Like I love my comedy friends too, but it's kind of nice just being in a group of normal people every now and then. Give you a bit of perspective on the world, and that everybody's not just doing bits.
Man, even just to see people again is nice. You know, like, I don't know when you guys kind of got out of your bubble or whatever there, but it's been about 3 weeks or whatever here. And man, just the first time you see a friend you haven't like even just being in contact with someone other than either your roommate or your partner or whatever, by yourself or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Frick, I needed that.
Yeah, like the we've been getting deliveries from like our local coffee shop of like ground coffee, and whenever they just want to drop it off on the doorstep and go away, but I hear them and I'm like out and I'm like, thank you.
Yeah. 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 Interaction.
Yeah. How, what's the bubble system up there? Because here, like, It was at least a month ago where they opened it up where you could pick like one other house to be your bubble.
Right.
And you couldn't change. But yeah, like there wasn't like a registry of this is who bubble is.
Because it's the honor system. Very similar. Started with one household and then I don't even know what it is anymore. Everyone's pretty much doing whatever they want at this point.
I hung out with like six people that all live in different houses. And I don't know how that works.
I mean, most people here are still like respecting the social distancing and stuff like that, you know, but as for like not doing anything, everyone's just living their life now, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah. And I never had the two family bubble just because most of like my best friends also have like kids and like, well, they're taken. I'm not anybody's best friend enough to be their two house bubble.
Yeah. That's funny.
Even my dad was like, his wife, my stepmom, like, well, her mom came over last week, so you're not allowed to come here.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, he my dad did come and help me fix my fence at my house. So, and we went to get some wood and supplies and stuff, and I just hopped in the passenger street of his truck with him, and he kind of looked at me and he was like, "Should you be in the back?" And I didn't even know what he was talking about. It didn't even register to me that I was doing something. And I was just like, do you want me to move? And he was like, no, but like my dad's very big on rules, but I don't know. I don't think he was supposed to technically be even at in my front yard fixing my fence either. So we got it done.
There you go.
But I don't know. I still feel like I should have been doing more. I've got like half formed bits that I could be like fixing now.
Everyone feels that way. Everyone on the planet feels that way. There's no way. There's like maybe a dozen assholes coming out of this being like, man, did I ever get shit done? Like,
yeah. Well, then I would love to. I would love to have taken the time. And then as soon as we come back, I'm like, I've got 2 new hours of awesome material.
Yeah. You wanted to be that 13th asshole. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I only wish.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my wife, May, because she's working like twice as hard. She's still working all day from home, so she's cooped up in the house. But
yeah,
she's also an accountant, and she's upping her credentials. So she spends all day working and then most of the evening doing schoolwork too. And I'm just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
I do more dishes than I used to, and I'm the one doing the grocery runs and stuff.
Yeah.
I still feel bad.
Yeah, kind of same here. My my fiance is working at WestJet, and she did eventually get laid off, but there was most of April she worked, and I mean, I didn't have a show since March 15th, so I was well into retirement mode by the time she got laid off, but yeah.
Yeah, so do you have many, or are they all just one-off bookings, or is your schedule starting to come
together now? Yeah, I mean, my schedule is pretty empty right now. My eye is kind of on September to really start with the real making money again. Hopefully I can do some clubs over the summer, do some backyard stuff, just kind of get my reps back up, bud.
Yeah. No, I was supposed to do a show at Punchlines. It's Shane's new thing.
Yeah.
Early April, and I was so bummed out that it got canceled. I had a new bit that I was working on that I really liked, and I was like, I was ready.
Yeah.
And and I was looking forward to the tour that you and I and Godso were supposed to do this summer too.
I was really looking forward to that too, but next year, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure
Once
it out.
We all get vaccinated.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Do you have anything you want to plug? Do you have a website, or are you the only comedian in the world that doesn't have a podcast?
I don't have a podcast. I am the only comic in the world who can't plug his podcast right now. But I'm working on it, John. Maybe I will be
all right.
A podcast guy. We'll see. I'm at the comic strip in Edmonton, 25th to the 28th.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
For all your Western listeners who are going to flood to Edmonton, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how many of the 20 of them live in Alberta, but we'll see.
Awesome. Well, but it was good seeing you, man, and
you
all the best, and yeah, till the next time, I guess, eh?
The mark of sorrow, got no sorrow, he's been borrowed, and he's used to me. They call me Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman Mao. They call me Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman Mao. They call me Rutabaga, the Chairman Mao. They call me Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman Mao. They call me Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman, Chairman Mao, Mao. Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman, Chairman Mao, Mao. Rutabaga, the Chairman Mao. They call me Rutabaga, Rutabaga, Chairman Mao.
Well, that has been the show. You just saw my conversation with Scott Belford. You should definitely look him up online. He's got some clips up on YouTube. If he's playing anywhere that you are at, you should go see him because he's a funny comedian. Appreciate taking the time out of his not so busy schedule to do this, but hopefully things pick up for all of us. I mentioned in that interview that I'd made a post online about maybe doing an outdoor No Jokes Bard show, and there seems to be some interest in that. So keep an eye on the No Jokes Bard group on Facebook for more information. But probably this coming Saturday, the 27th, I want to say, June 27th, let's say 9 o'clock in the Service New Brunswick parking lot off King Square, uptown St. John, New Brunswick. No Jokes Bard, 6-year anniversary show. Check that out. Details pending, but that's probably what it's going to be. Go to johnforward.com if you're not sure. I'll put it up there. Anyway, thanks for listening or watching or whatever. I hope everything's going well for you. Bye.